there's a bit of background that lies behind both this week and last week's parable. It's located in a spot where it's after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, what we know as Palm Sunday. It's in the 20th chapter, we're in the 21st. And Jesus is, what he always does, he's teaching and preaching, and this time it's right in the temple precincts itself. And so when he addressed the story last week about the two sons, you know, the father says, go work out in my vineyard. The older son says, no. But then later he repents of it and he goes. The other one says, oh yeah, I'll go. But then he doesn't go. The people that Jesus is talking to with this are which of the two sons? The one who said, oh yeah, we'll go, but then they don't go. And so what was the moral? The climax to that little story was when Jesus told them what? The tax collectors and the prostitutes, who were the son who said no but then went, are going to enter into the kingdom before you do. Why? Because one repented and went to obedience, and the other stayed unrepentant and disobedient. And so he can tell that they just didn't really get the message, so we get this parable about the vineyard. Who are the tenants? The chief priests and the elders of the people, the religious leadership. He's addressing them, though they haven't quite figured it out yet. But then the climax to the story is again what? They actually pronounce judgment on themselves. You know, said, what is the owner of the vineyard going to do to those wicked tenants when he comes? And they answered, yeah, he's gonna put them to a wretched death, which is exactly what's going to wind up happening to them. Why? Because Jesus just really hates them. True or false? False, yeah. This is one of those times where, there's this Jesus that we see in parts of the gospel where he's just this really warm, caring, easygoing, nice guy. He heals people, he encourages people, he raises them up, he sets them free from bondage. He has that phrase that's in the gospel, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And then there's this Jesus. Which one do we prefer? And that's not a trick question either. We kind of like the soft, easy, comfortable one, don't we? But, which one do we need? Both. Yes. We need to know that God loves us, cares for us, wants to reach out and heal us and lift us up and raise us up when we're fallen, broken, in sorrow and suffering. But we also need someone who's going to tell us when we're going in the wrong direction. Don't we? If we were each of us to be perfectly honest, just exactly right now, how many of us could honestly say that there's nothing in our lives that we're either doing or failing to do that we need to repent of? How many of us are just perfectly holy and saintly? None of us qualify, do we? But how receptive are we when Jesus tries to get a message through to us that we're in the wrong place and we need to repent of something and either stop doing something that's sinful and damaging to our souls and or start doing something that will build our souls up in faith? We usually resist. Hopefully we don't go this severe. Because, the chief priests and the elders of the people, the religious leadership that are here hearing Jesus with these two parables get angrier at Jesus, and they wind up starting to plot to bring about this. And yet, Jesus loves them as much as he does the other ones who have repented, who have accepted faith in him. there's two things going on. A, he's trying to get them to realize that they are endangering their own souls greatly by their obstinate unrepentance. They're about literally to send their own souls straight to hell. But the compounded problem is, this is the religious leadership of the people. And they're being watched, their behaviors being observed and picked up on and followed by some of those same people that are supposed to be leading to holiness. And instead of doing that, they're leading them in the same path that's going to lead them straight to the wrong direction. We need both. Which is where it comes in so critical that we understand why things are the way they are and what needs to be. Again, we need to know that Jesus loves us, supports us, cares for us, wants to heal us, especially of the things that do damage and wound our souls. But then accepting it to the point where, when time comes for repentance, that we're humbly willing to accept it and let his grace lift us back up and restore it. Now, learning that best starts in what environment? And I might shock you by saying, it's not here. It's where? At your home. Children from their infancy need to know that their parents are there for them, that their needs will be met, that their wounds will be healed, that they will be comforted. And that's why, you know, I know the whole baby carrier carriage type thing is very popular in this day and age, but actually I don't like them at all. Why? A very psychologically and emotionally healthy reason. Infants benefit incredibly from being held in the arms of mom and dad. Notice, mom and dad. That helps impart and deeply implant in their hearts and minds in their infancy a sense that somebody is there for them, that cares for them, that is protecting them, that is providing for them. That becomes a touchstone as they begin to grow up and start to move around a little bit and explore that here's this safety point that they can keep coming back to because they already know from their infancy that mom and dad are there. And then as they continue to grow, that sense of security continues to deepen because the time is going to come when you're going to have to be the other kind of Jesus, aren't you? Now, those of you who are raising children currently or have already finished, you already know what I mean, don't you? Children need something called discipline. And we live in an age that does not do real well with discipline at all. Now, hey, let the school worry about it. I'm sure the teachers really love that. Because you wind up with this child who's never had any discipline in their life, and they're running wild in the classroom and can't be controlled, and so neither they nor the other kids in the class are going to do what? For which purpose they're in the classroom? Learn. It is hard to be a parent. How do you know that? You don't have any biological children, right? I assure you, I don't. And at nearly 68 years of old, I can tell you I'm not about to start. But how would I know what I'm talking about? I have over 1,200 families worth of spiritual children, some of which are here right now this morning. Is it like dealing with children sometimes dealing with you?
You betcha.
And we need to know. We need to know the Jesus who comforts, encourages, lifts up, and heals. But we also need to know that God loves us enough and is unafraid to take the risk of challenging us when we need to be corrected and have our course straightened out because we're going in the wrong direction. Remember, how many times do I need to say this? God loves each and every single one of us so much that he does not want to lose a single soul, including all of yours and mine. And so, like we see Jesus trying to do in the Gospels, even though they are unreceptive of it, trying to reach out to them and get them to see what they're doing is they're condemning themselves and they're leading others towards condemnation, but they're still breathing here on earth, so there's still time for them to repent and have God prepare their souls to meet him. That's not just for them back then, it's for us right here, right now. If you're going in the wrong direction, let Jesus get your attention. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Let him give you a nice, big, heavy-duty injection of humility to acknowledge, yeah, I'm in the wrong spot. Then allow him to lead you back onto the right path, because he wants you for eternity in heaven. He does not want to lose any of you. He has more grace than you can even imagine to help lift you up and set you on the right path. He has more grace than you can imagine to heal whatever damage you've done to yourself and to others. But one thing is required of us. If by our actions and our will we tell God we don't want it, he won't force it on us. But ultimately that will mean what when our end comes? Tough one, huh? If we die failing to repent and allow God's grace to put our feet on the path to grace and eternal life, we will lose it all. The unrepentant chief priests and elders that are in the gospel passage, their unrepentance, they paid for it dearly at their own hand. The Roman Empire got tired, totally fed up with dealing with them and all of the mess that they were doing, and they wiped it out. If you can imagine, for over a couple of years, they were crucifying so many people per day that they actually ran out of trees to make crosses out of. Through their own fault. Do not be that kind of person. Again, I'm going to repeat this until the day I die, until I have no air left in my lungs. God loves each and every single one of you so much that he does not want to lose a single one of you. But you have to choose to embrace it and allow his grace to embrace you.